Can we turn in our Bibles to the book of Psalms, please? And the 95th Psalm. I'm keeping things moving tonight, too, because I don't want to be... This meeting closes at 8 and the other one opens at 8. That doesn't give me much time to get there. So we're just going to keep going tonight. Psalm 95 and beginning at verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow again, please, in a short word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we rejoice tonight in the fact that we can bring every need to thee, every need his hand supplying. We thank thee for many who have experienced that blessing in their lives, and we can look back and we can testify to the grace and mercy of God. And we thank thee for such a God tonight, and we pray that there may not be that hardness of heart towards thee. We recognize that conscience can be seared with a hot iron. We recognize that the tender parts of the conscience can be brought to a place where they speak no more. But Lord, we pray that thou wouldst open thy word tonight, and thou wouldst bless the word to hearts and draw sinners unto thyself. We thank thee for thy grace, and we pray that thou wouldst speak with power. For it's in Jesus' precious name that I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. The text before us is verses 8 to 10, which warn against a hardened heart. It says, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation and as in the days of temptation in the wilderness. It's a warning that is serious enough for the Lord to repeat it in the New Testament, because we read in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. And the Bible gives us a very serious and solemn warning about having a hardened heart. We know that there's a great similarity between the physical heart and the spiritual heart. For example, if your heart physically is in good shape, then you'll be filled with life. You will have a regular heartbeat, the free flow of blood that brings oxygen to the body and to the parts of the body. And your well-being will be such that you will be full of life and free from all disease. But you know that's not a million miles away from spiritual hearts in good shape. There will be that free flow of life. There will be the heart that is beating in tune with God. There will be a life that is sustained and given eternal life. And thank God it is a heart that is free from the awful disease of sin. But on the other hand, I want you to see that if your heart is physically in bad shape, then you have got heart trouble. If we see that in the physical realm, then it is also true in the spiritual realm. Because those maybe that have experienced heart failure of some kind, there's the irregular heartbeat,
And there is the cut down of the flow of oxygen. Maybe the arteries have become hardened and they have lost the elasticity that they should have. And so the blood is not flowing to the vital organs the way that it should. And life is not what it should. Life becomes dull. Lethargy comes in. People begin to get down to the place where they can hardly move. And so it is in the spiritual realm. So the life becomes dull. There is not that flow of oxygen. The life is out of sync with God. And there is that sin, the awful disease of sin that enters into the heart. And I wonder tonight, as we think of that, how your heart is tonight. I wonder if you are suffering from spiritual heart disease, a hardening of the spiritual arteries. And I want you to see how this portion of Scripture warns against the hardening of the spiritual heart. He says, harden not your heart, as in the days of provocation. And then he speaks about the generation before. And the word, Hebrew word for provocation there is meribah, and the word for temptation, where it speaks about how they did err in their ways and in the day of temptation in the wilderness. The word temptation is the word massa. Now those words also are used as place names. You remember how the children of Israel came out of the bondage of Egypt, and they were journeying out into the wilderness, out of the bondage that they'd been in, out into freedom. God had brought them out by a mighty deliverance. But they weren't long out of the land of Egypt and out of the bondage that they were in until they began to rebel against God and began to complain. And God called the place where they rebelled against him Massa and Meribah. It was provocation and temptation. And you know, these people began to chide with Moses and enter into rebellion against the Lord. And the Lord is saying to these people here in the book of Psalms, don't do that. Don't rebel against God. Do not harden yourself against the God who has delivered, and the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or even think. Don't harden your heart spiritually. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody tonight and your heart has become hard. You've sat under the sound of the gospel many times. You have been in many gospel meetings. You have received many gospel warnings from friends who have told you of your need to be saved. And you've heard that so often that now that you've become used to that. And I have a very difficult job tonight if that has become the case. Because I've got to preach to you, and only the Spirit of God in any case is able to put the word in the heart. But I'm glad that I come to a God who is able to take the hardened, stony heart and to give you a heart of flesh. Dear friend, if your heart has become hard, I hope that you'll recognize that and you will turn to the Lord. The Lord says a number of things here about a hardened heart that I want you to see. And the first thing I want you to see is the reality of a hardened heart. He says here, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the days of temptation in the wilderness. So it's obviously a thing that is possible to have this hardened heart, to harden yourself against God. And I want you to see, when we look at the scriptures, we find that a hardened heart is a stubborn heart. The Bible gives the example of Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, and it says that he had a hard heart towards God. It says in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, and he refuseth to let the people go. The Lord, of course, had commanded Pharaoh to let the people of God go. The message had come, let my people go. But Pharaoh simply refused to listen. Pharaoh refused. It says that he refused there, and the word refuse speaks of a tenacious refusal. He just was not going to listen to what God had to say. He just did not want to hear. He was not going to respond in any way to the demands of God, to the commands of the Almighty God of heaven, who said, "Let my people go." And he just would not listen. I wonder if you have determined tonight not to listen to what God has to say. We read about the Israelites in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 2 and verse 19. "And it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their doings, nor from their stubborn way." You know, you can have a stubborn heart. There are many people, and you go to them with the gospel, and they will not listen to any argument, or to anything you say, or to any case you put, or to any way of expressing the need of their heart. They just refuse. And that's the first symptom of a hardened heart. Will not listen. Dismiss it. I wonder if you have that stubbornness in your heart. But not only is a hardened heart a stubborn heart, but it's a stiff-necked heart. In Exodus 32 and verse 9 it said, "And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people." Now that's a very colourful phrase, a stiff-necked people. And the word stiff-necked has the thought of being hard against God. It's the same really as being stubborn, this tenacious refusal to listen to the word of God. But it goes a little bit further, because it has the thought, and you can see the picture of somebody that will not turn round to hear the word of warning, who is so tenacious, they're like a bull going at a gate, and there's no turning them. They're stiff-necked. They just won't turn round. They won't even acknowledge. When you warn them, they just even don't look your way. That's the kind of picture that we have here. When they hear the gospel preacher, they go out of their way to avoid the gospel preacher. If there's a mission that comes into the district, they make sure that they have everything on so that they can't go along to that gospel meeting. I'm glad that you're here tonight. At least you've come along to the meeting, and there hasn't come that hardness in that sense that you're stiff-necked. You are willing to hear the warning, at least. But you know what the Lord told the people in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16? He said, "Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked." He says the solution to the stiff-neckedness is to have their heart circumcised. In other words, what they had to do, circumcision speaks about the cutting away of the flesh. This flesh that had become hard. This real rebellion, this determination, never to listen to the gospel, never to hear the word of God. God says what you've got to do is get that cut away. In Acts chapter 7, we read about Stephen, and he spoke about these religious people, the high priest and the leaders of the Jews, and he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart." So he said, not only were they stiff-necked, but they were uncircumcised in heart. They flesh, this hard flesh, this hardening of the spiritual arteries. He says, "And ears which do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye." Do always resist the Holy Ghost. And Stephen said, "You're stiff-necked." Having a stiff-necked heart will not listen to God, will not hear God, will not even turn to acknowledge that God's word says something. This hardened heart is a stubborn heart and a stiff-necked heart. It's also a stony heart. Stony heart is the kind of heart that will not let anything come in. It's as hard as stone. No matter what you throw against it, no matter what you try to say, it makes no impression. Ezekiel, the prophet, one day the Lord spoke about a stony heart to Ezekiel. He said, Ezekiel 36 and 26, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And you know, maybe you've been in gospel meetings, and the preacher's launched the salvos of the gospel guns against you, and you have sat and listened, and you maybe have been in the meeting, but all that you've been thinking about is the price of potatoes, or what you have to do tomorrow, or about the worries and fears that you have, and your heart is hardened and cold and insensitive, and you're not even listening. You're as cold as can be. Now, you think of the stone, maybe some of you have walked maybe on a stone floor or something like that, and it's cold on the feet, especially in the winter time. Maybe sometimes you've walked on a beach that's stony, and you felt the stone warm. And stone can get warm a little bit. Maybe there have been times in gospel meetings where God has moved in your heart, and maybe there have been tears, and there's been that little bit of warming. But you know the thing about the stone is it doesn't hold the heat very long. And your heart is hardened before God. And my, you've shed those tears. And God has been speaking and drawing near. You know the oppression hasn't lasted very long. You have a hard heart. A heart that is stiff against God. Like you have to come at it like a big sledgehammer and a big rock. And dear friend, if that's your state, you're in deep trouble. You're in deep trouble. You know, if the things of God, because the only hope that you have is a gospel hope. The only hope is the message of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way of salvation. If you've got to the place where you're hard against that, you're rejecting the very thing, the only thing that can make a difference to your soul. So I want you to see the reality of a hardened heart. And I want you to see, if you've got one, the reality of the hardened heart in your life. But then I want you to see the reason for a hardened heart. Not only are we the reality of a hardened heart, but the reason for a hardened heart. Maybe you have seen, and we've spoken about this, that you do have a hardened heart. Maybe you've seen that for the first time. Well, I want you to see how the Word of God speaks about the reason for that hardened heart. And the first reason is sin. Now turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, and you'll see what it says about the hardened heart. It says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So sin is a deceiver. Sin will hoodwink you. Sin will get you to believe that all is well. And maybe up to now you have believed that all is well. Spiritually we have inherited a problem. It's a very deep problem. It is the problem that came upon Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. The problem of sin. The problem of original sin. And then the problem of the sin that we do day by day. We're born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And sin is a hardening effect. The more you go on, the more you sin, the more hard you become. He that be often reproved, the Bible says, hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. And the more we sin, the more used we become to sin. And maybe when you were very young, you did something, your conscience smote you, now you do the same thing. And you think very little about it. Because with the increase of age and the increase of the number of sins that we do, we become hardened to the things of God. And sin brings hardness of heart. That's why you need to be saved now. And that's why it says, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because the more you go on, the harder you become. We read about Belshazzar, the great king of Babylon, in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 20. And it says, but when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne and they took his glory from him. I wonder if pride has made your heart hard. There are so many people and they cannot acknowledge that they are vile sinners because of pride. You do not want to acknowledge, and you know that you have not committed crime, a crime that would land you in prison, and so you look at other people who have done worse than you, and my, you congratulate your voice, but you know the Bible picture of you is not a very flattering one. It says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that cannot be bound up neither mollified with ointment. People will cling to their respectability. And pride can cause your heart to be hardened against God. But not only will sin harden your heart, but stubborn willfulness will harden your heart. You know, there is maybe that natural resistance in your heart when somebody points out your faults. We all have that. We have this natural resistance. We don't like people to say what we do wrong or to point out the things that we have done wrong. And that's certainly true when it comes to the Bible. People don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. You find that even in many of the modern versions as far as homosexuality is concerned. And they don't label all those verses in the Bible that tell us that homosexuality is a sin. They try to get them toned down a little bit so that that's not just what they say. People don't want to be confronted with their sin. And that's a natural thing. But you know, sinful willfulness, that willfulness to go on, that willfulness just to do what you want. We all have this desire to get what we want and do what we want. You know, it used to be the saying that if it feels good, do it. Now it seems to have changed a little, and we say it feels good, we have done it. You see, sin has been undermined today. The very concept of sin is something that men put aside, and men don't want to back down. We'll do what we want. We'll go where we want. Dare God say anything about my life? My life is private. I live my life as I want. And the gospel preacher is accused of forcing things down people's throats. But dear friend, you may do what you want. God has given you the liberty to do what you want. But what you want will bring you down to a Christless eternity. We read in John chapter 12, verses 37 and 40, that though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And it says, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. And here were these people, and they were in this dangerous condition, where they could not see. They were just blinded, like the horse with the blinkers on, heading on down the road that was going to bring them over the cliff. Sin will harden your heart. And sinful willfulness will harden your heart. And then something else will harden your heart, resisting the Holy Spirit. Remember what we said there, that Stephen said on that day, when he was preaching in Acts 7 and verse 51, he said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. What a danger of resisting, hardening our hearts against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who convicts. He is the one who brings before us the sins that we do. That little voice within the heart, that little voice that speaks, that little voice that deals with us. You know, we think of how Moses in Acts, or Exodus 32 and verse 9, he says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it's a stiff-necked people. What were they doing? They were making a golden calf and worshipping by means of the golden calf. And up on the mountain, Moses was receiving the commandments, but down below, the people were resisting God, resisting the Holy Spirit. Is that what you're doing? Reverend J.B. Culpepper was a great Southern evangelist in the United States. And one time he was preaching in what we call a mission, but the Americans call it a revival meeting. And there were six young men in this revival meeting, and the gospel invitation was being made at this meeting, and they stood like statues. They were under such awful conviction. They realized that they needed to be saved, but they resisted. There were some young Christian girls who knew them, and they pleaded with them. And they said to them, you know, the pastor has given the invitation. Will you not stay? Will you not come? But they stiffened their necks and resisted the Holy Spirit. And the Reverend J.B. Culpepper said in the next number of weeks, he said, just in a few weeks after that, he said he buried the last of those six boys. They hardened their hearts. And like the book of Proverbs says, they were suddenly cut off. And that without remedy. And it could happen to you. They were resisting the Holy Ghost. And then there's another reason for the hardening of their hearts, rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said in John 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath not one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Men, women, are you rejecting Christ? The only way of salvation. Dear friend, don't harden your hearts against the lovely Savior. Don't harden yourself against the one who went on and died and was put on that cross and shed his blood, gave his life that you might be redeemed. How hard you must be. How resistant you must be. That means nothing to you. The Lord Jesus said in prophecy, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Oh, we resist the mercy of God. But not only do we see the reality of a hardened heart and the reason for a hardened heart, but I want you to see the results of a hardened heart. What happens? Well, your heart becomes insensitive to the Word of God. I read about a man who was 82 years old when he died, and he was not saved. And at his funeral, his neighbor said that he could remember when he was young. And he said that he went to meetings, and he remembers him being under strong conviction by the Holy Spirit. And he said he would weep and tremble. And he said that he noticed as the years went on that this man still sometimes went to gospel meetings. But he said that as time went on, the less he would tremble, and the less effect the gospel would have on him. And what was happening was that his heart was being hardened. Now listen, dear friend. Maybe you can think back to when you were in Sunday school. Maybe you can remember those children's meetings. And you heard the gospel. And you were concerned. And you knew that you needed to be saved. And my, there you were under conviction of sin. But now time has gone by. And very often you can sit under the sound of the Word of God. And maybe every time you can sit under the sound of the Word of God. And there is nothing that speaks to your heart. Let me tell you, that's a dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. Because if you are hardening yourself against God, you're in very dangerous ground. Mark 3 verse 5 it says, and when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of the heart, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. He looked around with anger because of the hardness of their hearts. Now where does hardness of heart land you? It lands you under the anger of God. What caused this grief? What caused this anger? The hardness of their hearts. The fact that they would not listen. In America again, many years ago, there was a man, preacher by the name of the Reverend Milton L. Williams. He was an evangelist. And again, he tells about six young persons. Funny, the both cases are six young people. Who sat at the back of the church in a revival meeting. And it says that they entered into covenant between them that they would not go to the altar. In America, they have altar calls. People come to the front. If they were to speak to them, they want to make it right with God, they come to the front and they will kneel at the front. That's what they call an altar call. And they said, we'll not go to the front. We'll not go to the altar unless we're carried there. And they went out of the meeting. And they were going for the train. And they hired, they called for a horse and trap or a horse and buggy to bring them to the train. And they went and they had a bit of a picnic and a bit of fellowship because they had time to wait for the train. And then they got on the buggy and they went down to where the train was to be. And the coach driver said, is the express, the 7 o'clock express come? And he said, the person that he's asking, he says, the man said, or he said, when does it come, rather? The man says, 7 o'clock. And it was just about 7 o'clock. He says, it must be gone. But the express was late. And the buggy was just sitting over the rails of the, it was a crossing, and the buggy had just set itself over the rails on this crossing. And the train just came round the corner and swept the whole lot down the rails. All six of those young people were killed. And their coffins were carried to the altar in a funeral. They said, we will not go to the altar unless we're carried there. And they were carried, but not the way that they thought. Dear friend, the anger of God is real. You can't harden your heart against God with no consequence. I want you to see the results of hardening your hearts. But then could I show you the remedy of hardening your hearts? Thank God there is a remedy. You know, we have spoken about hardening of heart and so on. But I'm glad that there's a way. God has said that he can take the stony heart and he can make it into a heart of flesh. And that's what he can do with you. You know, there are many people who have many remedies for a hardened heart. Many remedies. There are those that take medication for their heart condition. It's just like with the physical heart. Many people will do that in the spiritual realm. They will take this and that to try and redress the balance of what's wrong with their hearts. And some people will enter into luxury, and some people will enter into pleasure, and some people will enter into material things, and some people will take some kind of drug of self-confidence and try all these types of medication. They're all artificial substitutes for the only real remedy. Dear friend, you can't have a remedy for a hardened spiritual heart by taking the world's medications. It doesn't work. Other people in the physical realm, what do you do if you have a bad heart? Well, some people have bypass surgery. And there are people that try bypass surgery for the spiritual problem. And what does bypass surgery do? Well, it bypasses the problem. You know, there are many people who try to bypass the problem. and try to get round the problem. Never think about it, never bother about it, and try all sorts of other means to try and get round the problem. Bypass surgery is certainly a good job in the physical realm, but it's no substitute in the spiritual realm. The only cure for a hard heart in the spiritual realm is a new heart. What does God say in Ezekiel 36 and 26? A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. What is that? How does God give you a new heart? By being born again. By being born again of the Spirit of God. And he takes the old. And he gives you the new. He takes away the bad. That which is bringing you to death. And he gives you life, vitality, blessing, peace. That's what you find in the Lord Jesus Christ. How's your heart? A good indication of your heart condition is how you respond to the gospel message. How you respond to the Lord's cure. To come to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Will you come tonight?